Thank you all for standing by, and welcome to the Bashneft First Quarter 2011 IFRS Results Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Thursday, the 9th of June, 2011. I would now like to hand the conference over to Maria Redina, Head of IR. Please go ahead.
Good morning, good evening, and good day, ladies and gentlemen. We're happy to present our first quarter results with assistance of VTB Capital. We are presenting our results under IFRS standards. Let me introduce speakers of today's conference call. First, we have a CEO of Bashneft, Mr. Alexander Korsakov. Then we have here CFO Alexey Kuroch and Vice President for Strategy and Development, Viktor Mishnikov. Let me read the standard disclaimer, which we have to start our conference call. Certain statements in this presentation may contain assumptions or forecasts with respect to forthcoming events within Bashneft Group. The words expect, estimate, intend, will, could, and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions, and the actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events or circumstances occurring after the above-mentioned date or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results of Bashneft Group to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Bashneft Group and its operations. Now, let me pass the word to our CEO, Alexander Korsakov. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you are. Thank you very much for attending this conference call. I believe you've seen our results already. You've had a chance to read our papers, so I do not believe it's necessary to dwell upon any details of this. The results are in line with our expectations, and I hope very much that they're in line with your expectations and forecasts as well. We're here at your disposal, and we're ready to answer any questions. If you need any profound speech on any of the figures, we're at your disposal, and we'll be glad to do it. Thank you very much. Please proceed. By the way, does everybody speak Russian? Or are there any English speakers?
Okay, operator, please start the Q&A session.
If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone. Once again, that was star one if you wish to ask a question. Your first question comes from Alexander Korsakov. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Looking at your production and sales numbers, it looks like you had some build-up of inventories. Can you provide a bit of color on this and how much was that and kind of where was the gasoline, diesel, what kind of type of product build was there? Thank you.
Kuroch will respond to this question.
If you compare the Q4 of 2010 and Q1 of 2011, then obviously you see quite a reflection of a change in the petrol product market that we saw in the first quarter of 2011, where the netbacks on the export market were higher for some major products like petrols and diesel, for example, than in a local market. Hence, we've made a decision, and we've been making that decision on a monthly basis, to export higher volumes than we've initially planned. Just to give out a few details of a business plan, then we've exported 25 to 27% more of petrol products than we've actually planned or expected to do in the first quarter of 2011. But obviously the main two products that were exported was diesel, and petrols. And we saw an increase of about between 330 to 350 millions USD in terms of the inventory, simply because the turnover ratio has increased from Q4 to Q1, because in terms of the inventory turnover, then the average period is somewhere around 36 to 50 days, obviously depending on the product and depending on the basis.
Okay, another question. You have a refining loss when you input crude and you get the output of the product of about 9%, which is pretty high by kind of industry standards. Can you just elaborate a bit on that? Thank you.
It's not just a loss, it's fuel and loss. It should be taken into account. And the consumption of fuel in the refinery depends on the complexity of the refinery. Bear in mind that our complexity is quite high. It means that we have fuel consumption higher than other refineries of the similar level of utilization. So it's the only explanation. If we're talking about losses, as losses, we are in line with other refiners in Russia.
And if I can just may add, I'd like to say that if you compare 2009, 2010, and 2011, we're gradually going down comparing to 2009. When we just entered the company, then as Alexander Korsik mentioned, then fuel and losses were significantly higher. And B, we are in a kind of early stage or gradually getting to mid stage of analyzing the fuel, which should bring an additional decrease in fuel and losses in the future to come.
And last question, how do you see currently refined product prices developing in Russia in the second quarter? Thank you.
Products prices in Russia are the function of the price of crude in the international market, because crude in the Russian market is priced in accordance with netbacks from exports, and of course prices in Russia depend on the crude, which is an input to our refineries. Basically, it's the idea. Sometimes Russian prices are higher than netbacks from exports, sometimes they are lower, but they are more or less in line with export prices.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from line 482. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Gaidar Mamedov from Goldman Sachs. In the presentation that's on your website, on the slide number 6, there is a chart showing flow rates at tons per day, and that as we can see, there is a significant increase in Q1 2011 versus 2010 average in average daily flow rate for new wells. Can you maybe explain in a bit more detail what procedures you are doing to achieve this? Thank you.
Are you talking about new wells or old wells?
New wells,
well, in fact, it's very simple. It's a function of geology. We have a very good team of geologists. We are finding proper locations for the new wells. It's a construction of wells. And the flow rates depend on the choice of proper construction of wells. and it's a proper technology which is being used for drilling. When there are professional drillers who are doing the job in accordance with all modern requirements in terms of technologies and other regulations, well, the flow rates are going to grow. Of course, it's a function of reservoirs as well, but in fact, even in current conditions, we can produce more than the company was producing before. It's just new technologies, proper work of geologists, simulation of reservoirs, etc.
So, okay, it's the work of geologists, you mean basically the location of wells when they do the well modeling. But when you refer to technologies in drilling, are they drilling the normal conventional wells, that like the ones that were drilled in 2010, or you're moving more towards some complex wells which cost you more using horizontal wells, or it's just the better performance of the oil service professionals?
There is nothing extraordinary in what we are doing. In most cases, those are just ordinary wells, more or less the same type of wells which we were drilling before, but we were doing it in a different way, strictly obeying to rules, to the technologies, and, well, taking no chances like that. Just normal work, nothing else.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from line 871. Please go ahead. Line 871, your line is open.
Thank you. Sorry for not recognizing my line. Alexey Dibilov, Third Room. Thank you very much for the conference call. I have several questions. First, considering new change in export duties for products and crude, what will be your new projects in refining? Perhaps some deeper refining of crude to get more gasoline share. And what's the compensations you are planning to get from the government under this new export duty scheme?
If you do not mind, I will start with the second part of your question.
Sure.
We are not entitled to plan what we can get from the government. We just hope that we can get something if the government takes into account that we're going to lose through the introduction of a new system. It's clear that we're going to lose, and probably we are the only company in Russia which is going to lose, because our production is lower than the volume of our refining, and we are buying crude for our refineries. But we hope very much that the government will look for the ways to compensate us, because the government will sure want us to continue to refine on the same level as we are doing right now, in order to prevent us from dumping our sour crude into Transneft pipeline, which would lead to deterioration of the quality in the whole system and to some problems in refineries which are below us in the pipeline, and to the problems of the exports. So probably we'll get a mutually satisfying solution for this issue. But I cannot dwell on any of details of that for quite clear reasons. First of all, because we cannot request, we can only ask. And the second reason, some issues are quite technical, and before they are resolved, it's too early to speak about them aloud. But we're in negotiations with the government, hope very much that the government will take into consideration our issues, because we know how to cope with the potential loss through changing the volumes of refineries, of refining, through changing the program of modernization, through different approach to our model of refining. We know what we're doing, but we are looking at the same time at the interests of the country, and the country is interested in production of sufficient volumes of high high-quality products like gasoline and diesel to supply the Russian market. So we're looking for mutually beneficial solutions.
I think, and return to the previous question, what new projects in refining do you plan, if any?
New projects, we are modernizing our refineries in line with the new standards, which are already introduced or are going to be introduced quite soon. I mean, Euro 3, we're producing Euro 3, Euro 4 and Euro 5. We're in line with the government regulations. I mean, the timing will be ready to produce necessary products and necessary qualities by the deadline, before the deadline, which is established by the government. It's first part of our modernization. Second part is, I would say, purely commercial part of it. It's just increasing the depth of refining and improving the product slate, increasing the percentage of light products. In fact, it's very simple. If you want to develop upon particular units which we're going to build, it's a hydrogen unit, it's hydrocracking, and it's delayed coker. That's what we're talking about.
Even coker? Oh, you do go
delayed deep. Coker, yes.
Yes. Is it the first in Russia?
No,
I haven't heard about
the third in our refineries. In fact, we have two already.
Ah.
One is quite old. Another one was put into operations, I believe, last year or in the end of 2009. And we're thinking about building a third one.
Does this include cutting the share of VGO in your production?
Yes,
mix?
Of course. Yes.
And
right.
What's the current channels for VGO you are selling? Do you have some agreement with overseas refiner who takes off your VGO, or you just sell it in the market?
We sell VGO in the market.
Thank you very much.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Your next question comes from line 814. Please go ahead.
Hello, it's Vadim Trochin from Открытие Bank. Two questions, if I may. First, I'd like to ask, I noticed that you increased the proportion of refined product exports quite significantly in Q1. I wonder how it has changed in the second quarter. Is it the same? Should we assume the same proportion, the same split of exports versus domestic refined product sales?
It's very difficult to answer your question in an accurate way. We have a business plan for the year where there is a certain proportion of exports and the Russian market. But we are planning each month a new proportion depending on current economic conditions. We are looking for optimal proportion between exports and the Russian market. And you know better than we do that the market is quite volatile. In terms of regulations in the Russian market, in terms of what is happening in the world market, and we are looking at the highest revenue and the highest margin of refining. That's all. I cannot make a prediction. If we believe that it would be better to export, we'll export, and the other way around. Of course, we cannot export 100%, and we cannot sell 100% of the products in the Russian market. It's impossible, but in a reasonable corridor, we can change from exports to Russian market, and we can do it even in the course of months after we have done the planning for the month.
Okay, understood. And the second question, if I may. Of course, I understand it's up to Sistema, it's not exactly you, but can you give us any rough idea in terms of negotiations with the Indian companies? What we can reasonably expect and when, I mean, timing-wise, should we expect anything fairly soon or these negotiations are likely to last longer?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's a question which should be addressed mostly to Sistema, but, well, I don't want to tell you that we do not know anything about what is going on. Of course, we're involved in the process and deeply involved in this process. Negotiations are continuing. Of course, initially, each side of the negotiations wishes to finalize the deal as soon as possible, but it usually doesn't happen in that way. because our partners are clever, experienced. They have a great knowledge of oil industry. They have a great knowledge of finance. They have know-how. We hope very much that we're in the same category, and it means that there is always a strong argument about what is the price of this or that asset. And before the price is agreed, there is no solution, and well, it's very difficult to predict when negotiations will be finalized. What I can mention is that both sides are eager to make the deal. Both sides are very constructive, but about the timeline, it's quite difficult. I would expect personally, it's my personal opinion, that something can materialize before the end of the year, but not earlier.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, please press star one on your telephone to ask a question. There are no further questions over the telephone. I'm sorry, we have a question from line 871. Please go ahead.
Yes, another question, please. Sistema is currently planning to develop its petrochemical division. So will this be done under the umbrella of Bashneft or as a separate entity? And if so, do you plan to perhaps take off from Gazprom Salavat or Orsk, which would look much more logical in this structure, not in Gazprom or the other structures?
Well, you are absolutely right in mentioning that Sistema plans to create a petrochemical project. Of course, we are involved, but we are involved mostly as consultants on this project because we have a certain know-how and knowledge of the industry, especially at the borderline between refining and petrochemicals. As to any particulars about this project, you'd better ask Sistema during their conference call when they will be making their results known. It's not an issue on which I can give you any more details. We're being used right now as consultants.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from line 813. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. Hromushin Ivan from Gazprom Bank. My question is that it appears that Bashneft daily production is not growing anymore. And could you comment on this, whether it is a temporary situation or not, and what is your production outlook till the end of the year? Thank you.
Well, if you remember our previous conference calls, you would have noticed that we were saying that we cannot continue the aggressive production growth forever, because the rate of growth is mostly the function of the oil fields we have. Of course, we can do some things with using proper technologies, with hydrodynamic modeling of the fields, etc., but the nature is nature, and we cannot produce more than is in the ground.
But
sooner or later, we are going to reach the level when we cannot do any miracles anymore. What we're doing right now is not a miracle. It's a normal thing which is being done and which was done by other companies and by many members of this team in other companies in the 90s. We're doing this in Bashneft right now. Of course, sooner or later, the production in the fields in Bashkiria, I stress in Bashkiria, will stop to grow. We haven't reached the limit yet. We're still, and well, not still, we're saying that we'll fulfill our target, which is between 14.7 and 15 million tons for this year. After that, the production growth will be quite slow and will continue to be on the level of, let's say, 15 million tons for a number of years. How long depends on the quality of our professionals. I hope it will be for a long time. What one should take into account is that in 2013, TREPS and TTOL fields will start their production on the commercial level, and this production will compensate the absence of growth in production in Bashkirian fields.
Thank you very much.
Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone to ask a question. There are no further questions over the telephone. Please continue.
Let's wait one more minute if we get any questions. If no, then we will end the call.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. We have a question from 9813. Please go ahead.
I have one additional question, if I may. My question is about the average selling price in the first quarter to the CIS countries of, oil products. If I'm not mistaken, it declined versus to the first quarter of 2010. Was it due to the different structure of sales or to different geography, maybe? I would be grateful for a short comment. Hello.
Yeah. Answering your question about the CIS countries and export. Well, as you see from the chart, then we've the volumes increased by about 10%, but mm-hmm. the revenues stayed pretty much the same. The direction is just the same as last year. It's mainly Belarus, which is about roughly 70% of the export, and about 30% is Kazakhstan. And as you know, the tax duties with Belarus were abandoned, hence you see a decrease or a reduction in the revenues, which was not the same last year. And if you add the tax duties to the revenues that you see in Q1 2011, you'll see an increase somewhere around 27%, which is absolutely in line with the volumes that we've exported in the first quarter.
Thank you.
Once again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. This is Svetlana Grizan from VTB Capital. Many investors are keeping ask about the role of Mr. Gutsiriev if he would be elected. So can you, I understand again, it's more questions to the general, but we need to answer to our dear investors something. Thank you.
Well, it's a question which should be addressed probably to Mr. Yevtushenkov, but nevertheless, I can expect his answer. Mr. Gusev is going to be on the board of Bashneft. He's an experienced entrepreneur, and he's an very experienced person, and prominent person in the oil industry. And it's always useful to have those kind of people on the board of any company. As to me, in the capacity of the CEO of Bashneft, the more people of this caliber on the board, the better for the company. So I'm quite happy about that nomination. I hope that Mr. Gusev, whom I respect very much, will be as happy as I am.
Thank you very much.
Are there any questions, operator?
There are no further questions over the telephone.
Okay. Dear participants, thank you so much for the attention, and we are waiting for you on our second quarter results conference call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.